Again, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Fine, good, good. Was it this week that was Tucson had two, I mean, U of A had their, okay, that explains it. So I guess U of A had their spring fling?
It's still going on today.
Okay. I thought it was only the younger people that knew it, but I guess everyone knows it. Amen. That's what's going on in Tucson. On a more serious note, there's in the Midwest, tornadoes going through and just a lot of destruction. Hopefully not too many death or injury, but let's keep them in our prayers. The Lord's return comes closer, we know that there's going to be just more natural disasters, more rumors of war, more wars, and we as believers here, we have a tremendous responsibility to be a place of refuge in a time of crisis. Hopefully, Tucson will be spared of rumors of wars and natural disasters, but I don't think that will be the case. And when disaster hits and crisis comes, my hope is that we would be prepared as a church. That we can be a place where people could find sanctuary. The presence of God. Amen. A place where they could encounter God and experience Him. Today I want to talk about the resurrection. Last week I talked about the significance of the crucifixion, and this week I want to talk about the significance of the resurrection. Now the crucifixion, it did a mighty thing for us. It justified us from sin. We're told in Galatians that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that is through the crucifixion. Jesus paid for our sins. That's why when the last words He said before He died is, "It is finished." Again, "it is finished" is an accounting term. Paid in full. I shared with this last week, but my wife and I, we incurred a lot of school loans, and so we have to pay the government off, and our provider sent my wife a letter that said, "Congratulations, you paid off your school loans," and that was a mistake, but you know, for a few moments, we were just full of joy. My wife just found that letter just this past week, and it just reminded us of a hope, a future hope. But that's what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross. He said, "It is finished, paid in full." And that is the significance of the crucifixion. He needed to pay for our sins. God is just. He is loving, but He is just. And in His justice, He sent His Son for us. But what is the significance of the resurrection? And that's what I want to talk about today. The crucifixion without the resurrection will be like an action movie where the hero, instead of overcoming insurmountable odds, and it would be like him dying in the hands of the enemy. Like James Bond not saving the world. A Jason Bourne, Spider-Man, Superman dying at the hand of Lex Luthor. For you women, it would be like the man of your dreams marrying the wrong woman, right? That's what the crucifixion was about. It's meeting the man of your dream and he falls for the wrong woman. The crucifixion is amazing, but the resurrection gives us purpose and a hope. I'll just go through the outline. These are the good old days, okay? I'm just going to say right now, these are the good old days. Because there's going to be a time when we won't have the freedom to just... Let me just do my sermon, okay. There's some misunderstanding of the crucifixion. There are some misunderstanding or the resurrection. One, that the resurrection didn't happen. I'm not trained in apologetics, and that's but the resurrection didn't happen. If you read a lot of people who are trained in apologetics, they'll say they have a lot of great arguments, and here are just some of the some arguments. If it didn't happen, our faith is useless. Paul said we should be pitied more than anyone if our hope is only for this life. The crucifixion and the resurrection didn't happen. Our faith is useless. I misunderstand the resurrection didn't happen. If the resurrection didn't happen, it is the biggest hoax that's ever been pulled off. In fact, all of the early eyewitnesses, they went to the grave with that lie. Usually that doesn't happen. Usually when there's a lie and at their deathbed, people usually confess that it, you know, I made this up. I believe I read it not too long ago. The person that took a picture of the Loch Ness Monster on his deathbed said, oh, I made that up, kind of thing. None of the first witnesses said that. They all went to the grave with the hope and belief that they actually saw Jesus after the crucifixion, alive and well. Another common misunderstanding about the resurrection is, the only difference in my life because of the resurrection is I'm forgiven. Now we are forgiven. Amen. But that's just one of the aspects of resurrection. There is power in the resurrection, and we're going to talk about this today. And another misconception is, the resurrection, the significance of it can wait till later. And that's a misunderstanding. The scripture is clear. It says the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. It is through God that we know God. And if God wants us to know Him, that invitation isn't open forever. We could grieve the Holy Spirit, we could quench the Holy Spirit, we could say no to the Holy Spirit, and that invitation that the Holy Spirit gives us, although it is free for us, and it is offered for us, it is not offered all the time. In fact, some of you may disagree, but there were people, when Jesus was on the earth, there were people that would come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. They thought the invitation was open for everyone at any time. But Jesus would say to these people, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay their head. Do you really want to follow me? Are you sure? And then he would say things that would offend people to turn them off. So if the Holy Spirit does tug on your heart, don't take that for granted. Don't think, oh, it will be offered for me anytime. The worst thing that you can do, and this is from personal experience, is to quench or to grieve the Holy Spirit. I won't get into it, but last week I felt like I grieved the Holy Spirit, and it really just, my spirit within me was just really broken for doing such a thing. Now let's get into what the significance of the resurrection is. I want to talk about three things: the hope of glory, the grace of sanctification, and the ministry of reconciliation. And the last one is the being a plate person to encounter God's presence. Let me say that again. It's the significance of the resurrection is the hope of glory. Oh, it's right there. It's the hope of glory, the grace of sanctification, and the ministry of reconciliation, and the place of encountering God. John 16:7, the passage we just read, it says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Those are Jesus' words. He's saying, unless I leave, the Advocate will not come. And now the Advocate, some of your translations may say Counselor, Comforter. But the Advocate is the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor. Some say that term advocate, it's a legal term. It's close to saying he is our lawyer. Proverbs talks about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is, it is the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. Jesus says, unless I go, and it's for your benefit that I go, but unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And when I do go, He will come. The person of the Holy Spirit will come to dwell with us and to dwell within us. And this Holy Spirit, He is the one that gives us the hope of glory. And what I mean by hope of glory, I mean a couple of things, but one of the things I mean is accomplishing God's will here on earth. Turn with me real quick to John 17:4. Glory is a term that may be hard to explain, hard to grasp. What does glory mean? Does it mean the weight of God? The shine of God, or the presence of God? But Jesus here explains it what glory is when He says, "I brought you glory." Let me read from verse 1, John 17:1. It says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Here it is. Jesus' definition of glory. One of his definitions. He says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." Did you catch that? I have brought you glory, how? By finishing the work you gave me to do. The hope of glory. When I say the hope of glory, it is this: that the Holy Spirit, the Advocate that Jesus sends after He resurrected, gives us, it gives us the power to do His work here. What did Jesus say? I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. How do we give glory to God? By finishing the work he gave us to do. Every other week we say a prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer goes, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's a prayer that has two parts. God has to accomplish it, but God has to accomplish it through who? Through us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The hope of glory is the hope that the Holy Spirit that the Lord sends will do just that. To finish his work here on earth. That's to say, each and every one of us has a purpose. Amen? There is a redemptive purpose for each and every person. There is a redemptive person, a redemptive purpose for each and every family. There is a redemptive purpose for each and every church. There is a redemptive purpose for each and every city. There is a redemptive purpose for each and every nation. Amen. There was one time when I was at a conference. It was a leadership conference, and they had a. They were interviewing a couple ladies, and they had a ministry. And their ministry was to, I believe their ministry was to minister to women who were in the sex trade industry. And they were traded, they go into the red light district, and these ladies, they talk about Jesus to these women who are in these industry. Most of them, not their own will to be there. They're forced to be there. And as I was sitting there and I was listening, now I don't know if this is 100% correct or not, but as I was sitting there and I was listening to them, I felt the Lord say, the reason why there is such an industry, and it's so widespread, and it's because, now again, I don't know if this is being recorded, so I'm just going to say, I don't know if this is 100% correct. I just felt an impression of the Lord saying, the reason why this is happening is because Japan is unsaved. Because their redemptive purpose is to bring purity on earth. Sexual purity on earth. And I thought to myself, my goodness, the redemptive purposes of nations are so awesome. The redemptive purpose of each and every individual is so amazing. It could start a chain reaction that could take down a giant like the sex trade industry. Amen? That is the power of the resurrection. That is the significance of the resurrection. And since Christ rose from the dead, I believe we have the confidence that we would experience the same thing. Let me read Romans 8:11. It says, If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let me read another one. It says, Ephesians 1, 18 through 9 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that rose Christ from the dead. The significance of the resurrection is that same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. It's in you. Now, of course, it means the resurrection after we die. Not too long ago, about maybe about 10 years ago now, there was a small kid, Todd Burpo, I believe his name. He wrote the book, Heaven is for Real. Any of you read that book? Nobody. Oh. It's a great book. let me be honest. I did not read that book. I listened to it though. I bought the audio CD and I think I listened to it on the way back from Arizona when I was still living in California. And I was going back and forth. I listened to the audiobook, Heaven is for Real. And numerous accounts, including Todd Burpo's account, is people who gone to heaven, is they meet people they knew on earth in heaven. And those people, they actually have bodies and they look the same. In fact, Todd Burpo, he met, while he was in heaven, he said he met his grandfather who passed away. And so, as his parents were learning just him going to heaven and him meeting Pop, who he called his grandfather Pop, they showed him a picture of their grandfather and said, "So you met Pop?" And Todd was like, "No, I didn't meet that guy. I don't know who that is." Well, they're like, "Well, this is your grandfather. This is who you met." But later down the line, Todd, who was, I think he was 7 years old. Oh, he was 4 years old when he had this experience. But later, as they were just living, he ran into an old picture of his grandfather. And he says, "That's Pop." And they're like, "How'd you know that's grandfather?" He's like, "Well, I saw him in heaven." And I guess in heaven, we have a glorious body. I don't know if we have the choice of whether we want to stay. Toshio, you might want to stay just because you're so beautiful as you are, but I don't know if you have the choice of staying the way you are or having to choose which time of life you want to be in. But numerous accounts just say when they get to heaven, they see people. And there is the hope of resurrection of our bodies. But that's not the only thing. There's a hope for resurrection here. And what I mean by that is this. That Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal dreams, kill purposes, destroy lives, destroy families. But God, in His grace, the significance of the resurrection is He comes to resurrect what Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. I love playing basketball. I've mentioned this many times and I'll continue to mention my love for basketball. I love playing basketball. When I was about 26, 27, when I was about 27, I messed up my left knee. I hyperextended it. I don't know what the extent to my injury it was. I didn't go and get an MRI or anything. I couldn't run. I couldn't jump without it hurting, and it was just very painful. I remember asking a friend of mine, a pastor of mine, you know, do you think the Lord did this to punish me because I play basketball too much? And, you know, the pastor said, well, he might have. I don't know. But, I just thought it was the Lord, and what it did to me, though, not playing basketball doesn't seem like a big deal, right? But for me, it's almost like it's everything. Without basketball, I didn't really exercise. So I gained immediately like 10, 15, 20 pounds. Basketball is a way that I make friends. just because I'm very shy and I'm not that social. But when I get on the basketball court, it's like I can talk with people. It's just a different person. I feel a lot better about myself too after playing basketball. Maybe it's the endorphins or maybe it's the encouragement you get from other men playing basketball, but this is something that I really enjoy doing. And I didn't realize the effect of not playing basketball for me. I don't know if you guys have anything like that in your life. Maybe something that you stopped doing, and it has really affected your life, but you just didn't realize it had that kind of effect on your life. And I thought, you know, God took away basketball because he didn't like it. It was competing with his affection. But I realized, you know, that's not how God is. God loves us, and he loves all of us, even our hobbies. He loves us when we're doing our hobbies just the same as he loves us if we're reading our Bible. He loves us. And so, you know, I wasn't able to play basketball, and my life was going down the drain, and, you know, I didn't have a girlfriend, I was losing my hair, and I was like, oh, my life sucks. I don't know, but, I don't know when it exactly happened, but I started praying for my leg. And I started praying, and it didn't happen. You know, I believe that God's resurrection power lives in us, because that's what the scripture says. That's what Ephesians 1, 18 through 19 says. That's what Romans 8:11 says. It says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Amen. Do you believe that? For those of us who believe, the same power that raised Christ, who was beaten, who was whipped, who was crucified, and just anything you could have done to him, it was done to him. And raised him to life. He said, that power dwells in you. And so I started praying for my leg, for my knee. And it didn't happen overnight. I remember one time, though, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was playing basketball. And I was able to jump, and I was able to run. I don't know if you have those dreams, but I was like, wow, this is amazing. And when I woke up, I had the faith to just jump, to test my leg. And my room, the ceiling is about 8 feet high. And when I was young, I used to like to jump and touch it, you know. And that's how I'd exercise. I'd jump and touch it like 10 times. And then I get so good that I could almost touch it with my forearms. But after the injury, I could barely even touch it without my knee. When I landed, my knee would just hurt so bad that I just didn't want to do it. But after that dream, I said, you know what? I feel like the Lord healed me. And so I jumped, and I was able to touch it with my palms. And I was like, wow, God really healed me. Although it's been a constant battle, and it's been a constant just injuries and then healings and injuries and healings, that resurrection power, it dwells in us. It dwells in you. To resurrect things that Satan has stolen, killed, and destroyed. Amen. Satan tried to steal basketball from me because he knew it would ruin my life. But the power of God resurrected it. It is also for the grace of sanctification and the ministry of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit is here to equip us to do His work of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 says this: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." The Holy Spirit and the significance of the resurrection is the grace of sanctification and reconciliation. See, the cross, the significance of the cross was justification, which is a one-time thing. You're justified. The significance of the resurrection is a process of sanctification. The difference is this: justification, you're forgiven. Sanctification, now let's work on our relationship. You know, it's like if you're ever in a relationship where trust has been broken, you can say, "I forgive you." But that doesn't change a lot. It's, "I forgive you, now let's work on it. Let's see if you're trustworthy. Let's see if you're faithful." And that's what God did for us. He says, "I forgive you." You know, we haven't been seeing eye to eye. Scripture is clear. It says, we men, humans, have rebelled against God. And God says, "I forgive you." And then God says, "Now let's work on it." That is the power of the resurrection. That's the significance of the resurrection. "I forgive you. Now let's work on some trust issues." And God gives us some things, and He says, "Wow, yeah, He's trustworthy. Let me give Him more things." I watched a movie called Wrath of the Titans. I'm not going to ask if anyone watched that one, because I know, I'm pretty sure no one else. But Wrath of the Titans, it's about Greek and Roman gods. Or it's about, I think, Roman gods, but anyways, it's about Zeus and all those other gods. And it's interesting. Paul is very countercultural. Because in those times, when you serve those gods, serve God like Zeus or Poseidon, it was the human's job to reconcile themselves with the God through prayer, through sacrifice, etc. It was the human's job to reconcile themselves with God, with the gods. Paul says, God reconciled Himself with us through the sacrifice of His Son. That is the significance of the resurrection. And finally, the last one, it makes us the place of encounter. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. He has made us into a royal priesthood. That means that every time we encounter someone who doesn't know God, that we are the place of encountering God. That God, that people can encounter God through us. That is an awesome responsibility if you think of that. We are the place where His Spirit dwells. We are the place where people can encounter Him. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And let me just finish with just this commentary on this verse. Galatians 2:20 is one of those already and not yet verses. Meaning, yes, we, in a sense, we are crucified with Christ. And Christ lives in us. Amen? But at the same time, it's hard for, I think, a lot of us in good conscience to say, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. It is a process. For the disciples, for the first disciples, the 12 disciples, it was a process that took about 3 years. It probably took longer for them to finally say, it is I that no longer live, but Christ is in me. I don't know how long it took for the Apostle Paul to really come to that conviction that it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. So it is a process. Rick Warren says, in the gospel, there's a big difference between follow me and come take up your cross and die. And Jesus says both of those things. And so it is that process that we are the people of God, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, but it is a process to finally come to the point of Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ in me lives through me. It is my hope that it would become a reality in our life, that we would be able to say it with good conscience, that I no longer live, but it is Christ in me. That is the significance of the resurrection, that we have the possibility of being no longer I, but Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to dwell with us, to be a friend closer than a brother. So that as we journey with you, Lord, that we would have the power to overcome this evil world. That we would have the power to say no to sinful desires. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill each and every one of us up with your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.